Welcome to And For Other Things, I'm Andy Aplikowski. This is another follow-up on precinct caucuses that happened on Tuesday. Precinct caucus is where you're able to get together with your neighbors to discuss candidates, issues, vote in a gubernatorial straw poll, and elect delegates to local conventions. Results for the caucuses were, as of 5 p.m. on Friday, February 9th, Democrats finally had 100% reported in, with just over 34,000 votes cast. Tim Walz at 30%, Rebecca Otto at just under 20%, Aaron Murphy at 13.5%, Uncommitted had 13%, Chris Coleman, 12%, Tina Liebling at 6%, Paul Thiessen at 4.6%, people cast 2/3 of 1% for other, and then as a note, Paul Thiessen has already dropped out of the race. On the Republican side, just under 11,000 votes were cast. Jeff Johnson had 45%, Undecided at 15%, Keith Downey at 14%, Phil Parrish at 12%, Mary Giuliani Stevens had 11%. The following interview with Jeff Johnson was recorded on the afternoon of Friday, February 9th, 2018. So joining me now is Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks, Andy.
Good. So give us your 30-second elevator pitch for why you're running for governor.
I'm running for governor to change the culture and the attitude in government from that of controlling people and directing people and, frankly, bullying people to actually serving the people who pay our salaries. And we have just seen an out-of-control arrogance, I believe, in government, especially state government agencies, where they don't seem to understand what their role should be with respect to people and what effect they should have on people's lives. And so I think if we can change that culture to one of service, we start to alleviate a lot of the bigger problems in the state that are more policy oriented.
So if elected, what would two or three of your top priorities be?
You know, number one would be the jobs climate or the business climate in the state. We are, if you look at the trends of where we are headed as a state, when it comes to competitiveness, when it comes to entrepreneurship, job expansion, job growth, it's not good. And if you just look at the sheer numbers, the static numbers of where we are today, it doesn't look terrible. But when you look at how we compare to other states in where we're going, it's actually quite frightening, especially for a guy who, you know, has two teenage boys who I want to choose Minnesota when they get to that point in their lives. I want those opportunities to be there for them. And we are falling behind, whether we like to admit that or not. So that is a big piece. And obviously that has to do with taxes. It has to do with regulation. It has to do with how our state agencies treat entrepreneurs in this state. So that is job number one, without question. Healthcare is extremely important to people all over the state. There are areas in this state where consumers have literally no choice as to insurance policies, or at least insurance companies that are available to them. And so a high priority for me will be to make sure we're taking care of the most vulnerable, but then offering more options, starting to roll back mandates and create more competition for individuals. And then just one very specific issue that matters to me a lot is to eliminate the Met Council and start over with a small elected body that deals with sewers and takes in federal transportation dollars, since we have to do that.
Yeah, that's one for me. In 50 years ago, before computers and being able to send documents and plans across the city without having to hire a courier, I think we can do this in the 21st century a lot easier without a billion dollar agency.
Couldn't agree
more. Good. So, as I said, I went over the caucus specifics in the intro for this. Republicans had just under 11,000 people show up. What's your reaction to the results for you and overall on the Republican side?
Well, overall, I know that the media and the left are kind of trying to make a big deal out of low turnout, and it was low turnout. You always hope for more than that. But to be honest, when I look at the field of Republicans running, I think all of us were, you know, working to get our people out through some phone calling. But I don't think anyone sent out any mail. I think we all chose that was not a good use of our money, and I think that made a big difference in turnout. And there just wasn't, I just didn't see the sort of hype, at least for Republicans, that we've seen with respect to some caucuses in the past. So I know there are some who are really concerned about that. And while I would have preferred to see more, that doesn't concern me a lot, because it's our job as candidates to make sure that Republicans are engaged and excited as we move forward. And I think that will happen pretty naturally over the course of the summer and certainly into the fall. And then with respect to the actual vote, I couldn't be happier. We were hoping to win the straw poll and hoping to win it by a decent margin, but I didn't expect a 30-point margin. That is probably bigger than, well, it's bigger than any caucus straw poll I can remember by a lot. And so even though it's a snapshot in time, I think it's a good indication that we are really starting to unite Republicans. And I'm just going to keep my head down and keep working towards the endorsement.
Good. And are you going to abide by that endorsement? It's easy to say that in the front, but with the 800-pound gorilla of another candidate jumping in, are you still willing to abide?
Oh, absolutely. I won't just abide by the endorsement. If someone else is endorsed, I will be working aggressively to help them get elected, because I truly believe that the only way a Republican wins statewide in the state of Minnesota is with a very energized base of Republicans, with the Republicans on the ground. And if you can't get endorsed, that is not going to happen. So I think it's absolutely crucial.
And how do you think, first off, do you think Pawlenty is going to get in the race? And if he does, how do you think that'll change things?
You know, it looks like he is. I don't know if he is or not, but certainly all the intel that we have says that he is, maybe hasn't made up his mind, but he's very close and wants to. I don't know. If he gets in, I'm fine with that. If he abides by the endorsement, in fact, I think that's good, because I think it sharpens everybody and competition is a positive. If he doesn't abide by the endorsement, which is kind of what I'm hearing would happen, and forces what would be a very expensive and bloody primary, there's, whether we like that or not, that's what would happen. That doesn't help. It doesn't help our chances at all in November. In fact, I think it really hurts in what looked to be one of the best opportunities we had to win in quite a while in Minnesota. So I hope he is... not just surrounding himself by a handful of big donors and lobbyists who don't understand what's going on the ground with Republicans, because right now there is very, very little interest in somebody parachuting in to try to buy a primary. I don't think it ends well for him or for anyone.
Yeah, and I think having to delay our Democrat versus Republican until August gives us only a very short time. And you know, the trajectories, I was on state exec for the 2014 cycle, and we were watching the trajectories of polling. And, you know, hindsight in December is always great, but we saw that you were trending up against Dayton, and we just ran out of time in November. Yeah. And I think, you know, if we now go into the same mindset of, well, we can win this race in 3 months, no matter who the candidate is, I think that's a big thing. And, you know, one of my previous posts, I tried to convince Pawlenty in not running. And so I won't get into that with you on the line here. But next thing is fundraising. You were the top fundraiser for the Republicans so far. And these numbers can always be spun, and everyone has been trying to spin how theirs compares to yours. But I think with that being the entire year of 2017, and then we don't have another report before endorsement, how has your January been? You know, it's easy for a candidate to get in the race and all their friends give them money and their first report looks great. But have you continued to raise money well?
We have. And, you know, the 2017 totals, I had more than double any other Republican in the race. And I have more than triple the cash on hand of any other Republican in the race. And it has. I mean, you know, we obviously took a bit of a break from fundraising for the 2 or 3 weeks before caucus, but we, you know, I dove back into that head first. And we do have another report, actually. I was with you. I thought that there wasn't another one until the endorsement, but actually there is. March 31st is the end of another reporting period. So there will be an April 14th or 15th fundraising report out. And you know, we'll just keep hammering away at that.
Okay. So on the Democrat side, looking at it from the outside, we had Waltz that had a kind of a plurality lead too. Who do you think is going to win, and who would you like to run against?
I cannot get my head inside of what a DFL primary voter thinks, so I have no clue how that one ends up. It seems almost certain that they're going to a primary, which is good for us, I think. Certainly, Walz is the conventional wisdom is that Walz is their strongest candidate. I don't know if that's true or not, because he has been, you know, he had a reputation of being at least a somewhat moderate congressman. That might not have been true, but it was the rep he had. And he has just fled as far left as humanly possible in these last 9 months during this campaign, and will continue to go further because he knows he needs to win a primary. And then he's going to try to quickly pivot back and start essentially throwing positions he had to take, all the promises he had to make during the primary and the period that we're in right now. We won't let him get away with that if he's the guy. I mean, he's going to have the worst flip-flopper reputation of any candidate ever in Minnesota, because he is just all over the place, and he's moving far left. So I don't think he is – he may be their strongest candidate, but I don't think he is quite as strong as some people think he is. And then, you look at the caucus night straw poll, and Rebecca Otto did better than most people thought she would, and did better up in the 8th, apparently, which is kind of bizarre since she's – so virulently anti anything up there.
Well, and I wonder if that led to somewhat of what got Representative Nolan out of the race to announce his retirement today, or if he saw the writing on the wall.
That's right. Which, so I don't know. I mean, that's a long way for me to say. I really don't have a clue who it's going to be. And, the longer they fight, the happier I'll be.
Okay. So what kind of things are you hearing on the campaign trail that you think, is there anything new, different from last time, or something that, a change that seems like the footing has changed in Minnesota for Republicans?
I feel like it is a completely different race, and it's obviously still early in the race, but I can compare spending 12 days at the fair in 2017 at my booth to the 12 days I spent at the fair in 2013. At the booth, and it's night and day. In 2013 and in 2014 during that campaign, people really truly felt like Minnesota was on the right track, everything's going well. I don't think that was true at the time, but that was the perception even amongst most Republicans. It's like, well, we're in better shape than everybody else, at least, even if we don't like what's going on. The frustration right now, and that I saw at the fair from, not from Republicans, but from everybody who came up, with the way things are going in the state, there's a realization that we maybe aren't competing like we should be. There's a frustration, a great frustration with the incompetence of government, and Minlars just adds to that, but it was there before because of Minshew and some of the other crazy, embarrassing things that have gone on. There's just a real openness of people from around the state to say, you know what, maybe we need to try something different rather than just keep doing this same thing. And so I'm really encouraged by that. And there's also an enthusiasm amongst Republicans that we did not see 4 years ago, or at least a belief that we can win. That was a hard sell against Mark Dayton for me, because the polling showed we were, 14, 15 points back from the start, and we were able to really narrow that down to 5 in the end. But most of the campaign, it just looked like a big hill to climb. I think most Republicans believe that this is a toss-up, and that seems to be what all the national organizations are seeing as well. So I think going into this, it just feels so much better than it did last time around. And that, I mean, that's a great place to start.
Good, good. So how can people find out about your campaign, or more about you, or if they want to get involved?
JohnsonForGovernor.org would be the place to start. We also have Facebook and Twitter, but you can find that on the website. There's tons of information. I encourage you, if you're not ready to sign on yet, you can still go on there and at least sign up to get our emails. And we don't inundate you with them. We try to send out maybe one a week. And if you are interested in getting involved, there's tons of ways to do that. And you can find that all on the website. We'd love to have people jump on board.
Well, and I'm sure you'll be traveling to, say, BPOU convention start in 2 weeks here. So I want to thank you for taking the time today, and we wish you the best of luck, Jeff Johnson.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You can find a link to Jeff Johnson's website on the post for this episode on andforotherthings.com. Stay tuned for more interviews and reactions to the Republican gubernatorial endorsement, as well as other topics. If you or someone you know is running for office and would like to appear on And for Other Things, go to andforotherthings.com to find the contact information. You've been listening to And for Other Things, a podcast by Andy Aplikowski, and don't forget to subscribe via iTunes. God bless you all.